You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gareth Topham here. Hello, Mr. Topham.
Hello.
We are recording this right straight off the back of one of the most exceptional equine performances you'll see this season.
Yeah.
And that's not an overreaction.
It's not. A bloodless success in the Ascot Chase for Surname, who just looked a complete class apart. Going into the race, I thought it was probably the race of the season so far, as it was last year, really. Mm. And all of those good horses have finished in a bit of a heap behind a horse that just looks a complete freak in a complete league of his own. And it'll be very interesting to see where we see him next, because obviously the best of Surname's form has come on a right-handed track. He doesn't seem quite the same on a left-handed track. Of course, the two big spring festivals over here in the UK are on left-handed tracks. So does Paul Nicholls take the gamble? Or maybe leave them out and head to maybe Punchestown or Sandown later on in the season.
Is it a right-handed thing? Is it a flat track thing?
He didn't today jump to any one way, but it was possibly because he had the inside rail to guide him. Whereas on a left-handed track, he might just edge out to the right.
And that's got stopped perfectly flat, is it?
No.
But it's more flat than Carlisle, say, where he ran a few starts back and I think only finished third.
Yeah, so like I say, it'll be very interesting to see where the Nicholls team go. The horse appears to possess so much class, he might get away with it. Mm. Maybe he's growing up, maybe he's just come of age in the last few weeks. Of course, that's two bloodless wins of late, but they have both been at Ascot.
Yeah.
So he's just a very, very exciting horse. But just given the manner of the success, he doesn't appear to lack speed. Mm. So that race today was 2.5 miles. So if Connections wanted to drop him down in trip to see where he is sort of with the 2 milers, I mean, that's a very exciting prospect, were he to come up against the likes of Alty or around Sandown or something like that. You know, it's
could you potentially
all hypothetical,
him?
But
could you scupper him by putting in a pacemaker? Would that ruin his chances?
I think he's so dominant. I think some pacemaker, particularly if it was an inferior sort of horse, would probably just struggle to live up with him.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. Yeah. I don't actually think that would be, but it's all just, you know, imponderables, if you like.
Yeah.
As is the Cheltenham Festival, by the way, because he's not actually entered for any race as we record this.
Yeah.
Doubtless, by the time you are listening to this, he'll have been priced up for some races.
Yeah.
And rightly so. It'd be folly not to.
But yeah. And obviously the post-race interview with Paul Nicholls will prove very enlightening as well, no doubt. As I say, he's a horse that clearly doesn't lack for speed. He probably won't lack for stamina either. He didn't look to be stopping today. He jumped brilliantly throughout, but you could argue his best jump of the entire race was at the final fence. He's gone through the line strongly. You can't really envisage it being overly hard for him to see out an extra 3 furlongs and put it up to the top 3 milers in the country, because at the moment, I think Clandes Oboe, who's also, of course, trained by Paul Nicholls, is probably the one big improver in the 3-mile division, but the rest of them are much of a muchness. They're beating one another. So he's just a very exciting horse, whether he goes up in trip, drops down in trip, or just stays at this sort of unconventional distance and is kept for specific races, which are not necessarily, you know, the ones at the big festivals.
Lovely segue there into Clandes Oboe, who also won today. Tom, you're a professional, Gareth. You've done these podcasts before. He was also very impressive. You can't deny that. He travelled beautifully through the race. Yes, it was, on paper, a slightly weak contest. But nevertheless, he did what he had to do, and that jump at the last was of a horse that still had plenty left in the tank.
Yeah, it was almost a carbon copy of Surname's jump, really, wasn't it? Again, a horse that didn't appear to be tiring necessarily at the end of the race. He appeared to have plenty left. And as I said, he looks to be the horse in the 3-mile division, in the staying chase division, who is on the up, and on the up at a rate of knots. He's beaten the best that's out there, generally. With the exception of Presenting Percy, who for me still rates as a little bit of an unknown, for all that he's got some really good Cheltenham form. But Clandes Oboe, he just appears to be coming of age this season. He's still a young horse as well. He's only seven. He won the King George. I didn't think he necessarily had that hard a race in the King George. He seemed to win it quite stylishly, joined in at the final fence, went clear. And today's effort was equally as stylish and taking. So he's a very, very exciting horse, and I could certainly see him rocking up with a massive chance next month.
Two very exciting Paul Nicholls horses, which is good for him, because for the last few years he has lacked that sort of that real punch at the Cheltenham Festival, hasn't he?
He has. Obviously he had that golden era with the two heavyweights up at the top of the 3 mile division, Corto Star and Denman, of course. And in the 2 mile division, you know, again he had Corto Star to an extent, masterminded horses like that, horses that kept him at the top for a very long time. And the last few seasons haven't quite been the same, but this is some resurgence, it would appear, this season. And he's going to go to Cheltenham and many of the other top races throughout the course of this season and indeed next with some exciting young horses.
Definitely. Another exciting young horse that we saw in action today was Al Dancer, who did his Cheltenham credentials no harm at all with a strong travelling success in the Betfair Hurdle, but also when push came to shove, there was half a second where you thought, could not chuck it in here, but he could get collared. And then he went again.
Yeah, I think the general consensus of the track at Ascot today was the fact that the inside of the hurdles course in particular was riding quite soft, possibly a bit softer than the outer portion. And he was kept to the inside for the bulk of the contest. It was where he made his effort in the home straight. But yeah, he certainly didn't lack for gears once the chips were down, as it were. And it was a very confident ride by Sam Twiston Davis. The ride, as if, you know, he felt as if he had plenty of horse beneath him, a horse that would respond when he pushed the button. And Al Dancer did, and I know he's up towards the head of the market for races such as the Supreme Novices at the Cheltenham Festival. Well, he's certainly not done those credentials any harm today, and winning that big handicap, that big prestigious handicap. We saw it, of course, nearly pulled off last year with Kalashnikov, who, of course, won well at Newbury, and then only just came up short at the Cheltenham Festival. Maybe Al Dancer can go one better than Kalashnikov did, because on today's effort, he deserves his place right at the head of the market.
I've seen it in recent years as well with the likes, I think, Get Me Out of Here won the Betfair Hurdle and then went to finish second to Menorah.
Yeah.
In the Supreme when Dungweed was back in third. So it can be done, and we've seen that obviously in recent years and in the not too distant past as well. But loads to like. Is there anything else you want to talk about? What about the William Hill Grand National Trial at Haydock? I mean, stamina came to the fore there. Thrilling finish. That was, well, I was going to say finish of the day, but we've seen some great finishes today, both in terms of tight finishes and horses going away. But Robinsworth it was, who just managed to poke his head in front there.
Yeah, still relatively lightly raced for a 10-year-old, but the Tizards look to have a real smart stayer. I don't actually think he's ended up in the Grand National at Aintree, which is a bit of a shame given what he done today, because it was a strong staying performance. He wasn't necessarily the one you'd look at turning in thinking, yeah, this is going to pick them up, because there were several ahead of him that were going better, most noticeably, I thought, the grey Ramses de Taylor, who just got a little bit tired in that final 2 furlongs. But no, he jumped well, he stayed all the way to the line, and as you said, Alex, it was a tremendous finish. But it was everything for me that a Grand National trial should be, because there was plenty of drama. Pobbles Bay tried to take one of the fences with him. You know, there was plenty of ups and downs and thrills and spills. It was everything a Grand National trial should be, and Robinsworth came out best. And again, I don't know where he's going to go necessarily, but he's going to be a real force to be reckoned with in staying chases for the remainder of this season.
Absolutely. And we hope Pobbles Bay is okay after that fall.
I think they're all okay, the horses, which there were plenty of them galloping around riderless afterwards, but some real hair-raising moments in that that contest. And Haydock, over the last few seasons, has been, I think, deemed as quite almost an overly safe place to get round, because the fences have possibly been on the soft side. Obviously there was that little bit of controversy at the big Betfair Chase meeting at the beginning of the season, where they were possibly a bit big, and obviously now they've been sort of whittled back down to what they should be, but they seem to be taking more jumping these days, and we're seeing some really good racing as a result.
Absolutely. Right, more reflection on Saturday's action to come, both in tomorrow's and Monday's racing podcast, so make sure you tune into that. We're going to have a look at some of Sunday's action right now, though. Myself and Gareth are going to look at some action over at Navan in Ireland. There's also racing domestically from Huntingdon and... Where else is it tomorrow, Gareth? I should know this.
Good question.
I've already done the trail.
It is Huntingdon and... Wait for it. Market Raisin.
Ah, I did know
Market
that.
Market Raspberry.
I should have known that. Anyway, Huntingdon Market Raisin coming up tomorrow, but we're going to focus on two at Navan, starting at 2:20, Gareth.
Yeah, the two big Grade 2 races on the card are the Boyne Hurdle, which is off at 2:20, and we've got the Novices Chase, the 10-up Novices Chase at 3:25, both of which are very good races. Obviously, we see the Grand National winner, Tiger Roll. He's running in the Hurdle over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. That race is at 2:20. I actually think that race could go to Bacchuson, who, of course, was a very early faller in the Cheltenham Gold Cup back at last season. I've just always liked this horse. Ruby Walsh gets on really well with him. He's got a fine strike rate, this horse. It's fair to say that his jumping both over hurdles and fences hasn't always been the most slick, but he was most impressive over the new year when winning at Punchestown, and I think a repeat of that success will see him go very close once again here. It's a race which is full really of horses which are better known as chasers.
Well, like Tiger Roll and Bless the Wings are cross-country horses.
Yes, cross-country horses, horses which we'll probably see at Aintree again, quitting their stuffing in good style. Off You Go is the other really interesting runner. It could be a good day for Charles Burns. He's got some big entries at Navan on Sunday. And this horse certainly knows how to win Off You Go. He's won 3 of his last 4. Beat Jezki at Leopardstown in the big valuable handicap there last time out, the Ladbroke Hurdle. And, you know, off the back of that effort, he really does need respecting. But that race is over the minimum trip of 2 miles. Bacchuson has got that confirmed stamina. And although he's rated a little bit inferior to Off You Go, I think the race might just be between those two. And I'm going for a Mullins and Walsh win.
And unsurprisingly, the second race that we're going to focus on, because we had Gareth on the podcast and I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, Hunter Chasers. But to be fair to him, it is a belting Hunter Chase coming up at 4 o'clock, featuring a horse that is likely to be a warm order tomorrow, and in turn, probably for the Cheltenham Fox Hunters as well.
Yeah, for which I believe he's qualified. Uccello Conti, he's up at the foot of the anti-post markets with many of the bookmakers, including ourselves, to run a big race at Cheltenham. You know, I think he's either first or second favourite at the moment. He's trained by Gordon Elliott. He's owned by Simon Amania and Isaac Swaird. And this horse scored in really good style, actually, at Furlers last time out. He's still lightly raced in this sphere. But he did everything right at Thurles last time, and the time before he'd won a point to point, actually beating Sydney Paget, who's going to be reopposing. But he seemed to have the legs of that one, I thought, quite readily in that point to point. The race also features the likes of Coastal Tiep, who's you know, not completely out of this. He's been a good horse over the years, and also Salsify, who is now 14 years old, will be partnered by Finian Maguire, but he's a dual winner of the Cheltenham Fox Hunters, and you know, he's been one of the top hunter chasers in Ireland for many years now, although he's probably got to be the outsider in this because he's just vulnerable to younger legs. I think Uccello Conti, this is an ideal stepping stone to the big one at Cheltenham, which I'm pretty sure he's going to run in and acquit himself well. So hopefully he can get round, jump well tomorrow and prove that he's right up there with the best of the horses in this sphere.
Okay. So Uccello Conti and Bacchuson, the double for Gareth on Sunday. It's been a fantastic Saturday of action. Hopefully Sunday follows suit. Thank you, Gareth.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.